There is, of course, plenty of science that never wins a Nobel Prize, but is cool and important nonetheless. Joining me now to go over some recent headlines from the cutting edge of science is Shamini Bundell. She's multimedia editor in the London office of the journal Nature. Shamini, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, I'm actually going to go out on a limb and predict that what we're about to talk might actually win a Nobel Prize sometime in the next decade. About 20 years ago, a German graduate student discovered these tiny tubes connecting individual human cells. And two decades later, we still don't really understand what these tubes are doing, why they're there, but we are starting to get clues. And I gather biologists are kind of buzzing about these.
Yeah, well, everyone's very excited, I can tell you that, although even having researched it myself, I'm still not sure what they are, and I'm not sure any of the scientists are either.
I mean, it's kind of amazing that in this day and age, something that is even visible, you know, not to the naked eye, but that's visible is something we could have missed and that for 20 years we could have been studying or looking at and still not really understand.
Yeah, well, when the scientists first started seeing these sort of thin threads going between cells, you know, no one expected to see that. No one had ever seen it before, which was one of the reasons why people thought that there must be some mistake, or maybe you're just sort of mistaking a scratch on the Petri dish for an actual biological structure. But since then, it seems like they are real and they are doing something, and there is a lot of work trying to figure out what.
And there have been some examples, right? They seem to be transporting, perhaps, proteins between cells or carrying messages between cells.
Well, that's the most exciting thing. So it's not just that there are these connections between cells. It's that you can see particles, proteins moving along, potentially going from one cell to another cell. And the kind of things that they're seeing are also really interesting. So it could be proteins, it could be signaling between cells, but it could also be particles like viruses, like HIV, things that are actually associated with disease. And if that's the case, then that's obviously going to have very big implications for our understanding of those diseases.
So clearly there's plenty of biology left to learn in this world. But we've already, for decades, maybe centuries, been inspired by the natural world, especially maybe when it comes to airplanes and other flying mechanisms. Always, you know, engineers have drawn inspiration from birds. But now one group has actually created a computer program that tries to mimic not just a bird's wing, but the actual process of evolution for designing new airplane wings. How does this computer program work?
Well, the people who are engineers who've been studying how to build planes have been using computers for a while. And what they often do is use an iterative process. So it's a process that tests different variations and works out which ones work best. And this new group have used a supercomputer to design one of the most complex models yet to come up with a really, really detailed way of designing the inside of a plane's wing.
Now, I have no idea what the inside of a modern plane wing actually looks like, but the result of this model is amazing. I mean, it's been compared to birds' bones. I actually look at it and see what looks like blood vessels to me. But I mean, either way, it's really pretty dramatically different than just about anything that we would engineer these days.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. So what we've got in the inside of a plane wing, we're obviously trying to keep it as light as possible so it can stay in the air. And we're trying to keep it strong so that the wings don't bend all over the place. But what we use is sort of quite straight struts and things like that. When they ask their computer program, okay, what's the most efficient way of strengthening this wing without making it too heavy, the computer program came up with these sort of curved shapes and branching ray structures that, yeah, looks a little bit like, say, the inside of a hornbill bird's beak, which is an equivalent with a hard outer shell, but it needs to be strong and light.
Are there other applications for this kind of software? I mean, imagine you could apply this approach to engineering just about anything.
Yeah, the sort of iterative program and their ability to do this at really high resolution could be applied to all sorts of things. It could be applied. One of the examples was how to make a building that's most optimally designed to stand up to earthquakes. They haven't tried it yet, but the approach could definitely be applied to anything.
Yeah, well, buildings that can withstand earthquakes and hurricanes are certainly in demand at this point. Totally different kind of engineering here with this next story. We've been hearing for several months that Chinese scientists in particular are pushing ahead with genetic engineering in human embryos. What's the latest there?
So there's a new piece of research that's been published on this, which is trying to fix a genetic mutation. So this is a disease-causing mutation. And they've used a particularly interesting technique involving cloned human embryos.
Hmm. So does this get us, you know, one step closer, that much closer to potentially actually genetically engineering humans?
Well, it's all sort of developing the techniques and working out, you know, what works, what are the problems we're going to come up with. You know, this one, they've solved one of the problems by being able to experiment on clones so that they have lots and lots of versions of the disease-carrying embryo to work with. And they've also done something slightly different with the gene editing. Instead of sort of taking one whole gene out and putting another gene in, they've just tweaked one base pair, you know, one of the letters that makes DNA, and use that to fix the mutation instead. So it definitely has potential applications for other diseases and other conditions that could be treated with similar methods.
But of course, this is cloning and genetic engineering all wrapped into one. There's no way that avoids any of the ethical quandaries that all of these technologies pose.
No, and the ethical issues are something that really hasn't been sorted out yet. And as you said, there's quite a lot of experiments being done recently on genetic engineering, but they're all being stopped at a very early stage. So they're using human embryos, but not past the age of 14 days. So we're still a long way off from growing full humans from these techniques. And that's where the ethical issues are going to have to be really carefully considered.
All right. Last but not least, there is a project that kind of originated here in Woods Hole that we've been following for the past few years. This is efforts to return to the Greek shipwreck known as Antikythera that's really famous for almost an analog computer known as the Antikythera mechanism, this complex set of gears that allowed sailors 2,000 years ago to calculate the movements of the sun, the moon, the planets. Archaeologists have been back, just wrapped up a particularly successful expedition to the wreck. What else have they found?
Yeah, so the archaeologists have been finding quite a lot of goodies. One of the coolest things they found on this most recent trip was a bronze arm. It does have a couple of fingers missing, but it's actually remarkably well preserved. And they also found a mysterious little disc that looked almost like a gear at first.
Oh, so maybe a hint of the Antikythera mechanism there.
Well, that's what they were hoping. The Antikythera mechanism is full of all these complex gears, and they thought, oh, maybe we found the missing piece. But they stuck it under the X-ray, and they saw that it seems to have been sort of painted with an image of a bull. So they thought, actually, there are no gears in here. This is a sort of decorative item, maybe sort of attached to a chest or a piece of the boat or something. But very exciting nonetheless.
All right. So we will continue to follow that one because those discoveries just keep coming. Shamini Bundell is multimedia editor in the London office of the journal Nature. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Up next, the unexpected place where scientists have found radiation left over from the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear disaster. That's when Living Lab Radio continues after the break.